Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the virtual debate on agriculture and rural issues Montana's gubernatorial candidates attended over the weekend, and face masks. It's Monday, April 27th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Attorneys for the state have urged a Montana judge to reject a proposal seeking permission to collect signatures electronically for a recreational marijuana ballot initiative. The proposal is sought while preventative coronavirus measures are in place. The New Approach Montana lawsuit argues state measures have impeded the group's ability to collect signatures. The Missoulian reports the state attorneys argue the proposal did not present enough evidence of voter fraud prevention, and that the matter should be taken up with the executive or legislative branches. New Approach seeks to legalize marijuana use for those 21 and older. A judge has scheduled a telephone hearing for next Tuesday. Two of the three GOP gubernatorial candidates competing in the June 2nd primary election debated virtually Saturday on agriculture and rural issues. The debate was hosted by the Montana Farmers Union, State and National Cattlemen's Associations, and the Northern Plains Resource Council. Rachel Kramer reports.
Montana Attorney General Tim Fox and Al Olszewski, an orthopedic surgeon and state senator, tended to agree on most issues during the 40-minute debate Saturday night, including expanding mental health services to farmers, agricultural research, and rural broadband. However, Fox and Olszewski had divergent views on a long-negotiated compact settling water rights claims between the state of Montana, the federal government, and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. Olszewski was a then-freshman Montana House representative at the time he voted against the state compact with the tribes.
You know, I'm the only governor candidate in this whole race, Democratic or Republican, that is against the water compact. In 2015, I voted against it. It's unlawful. It's unconstitutional.
Tim Fox pushed back.
Al, I'll stick to practicing law and you can stick to practicing medicine. None of what you said is actually true. The state Supreme Court has upheld the constitutionality of the water compact. It's not illegal.
Fox and Olszewski's stance also differed on country of origin labeling regulations. Cattle and hogs from other countries that are processed or packaged in the U.S. can be labeled product of USA. Critics say this misleads consumers, creates more food safety risks, and undercuts the value of American beef and pork. There have been multiple attempts in the Montana legislature to push forward with a country of origin labeling law for meat sold in the state. One passed in 2005, a few years before a federal law went into effect, but disagreements at the national and international level reversed it. Montana ranchers say labeling will help their beef to stand out to customers. Great Falls radio personality Jim Sargent moderated the debate and asked the Republican candidates if they would support a state meat labeling requirement.
As governor, would you sign it? Tim, you get to answer the first time.
Fox said his administration would want to look at it if it crossed his desk, but getting a country of origin meat labeling law would need to happen at the federal level with changes to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement.
The World Trade Organization, that is really the referee for that those agreements, would have the ability, unfortunately, to add billions of dollars in tariffs on American products if a state or the federal government were to again try to do these kinds of country of labeling laws.
Al, we'll have you give your answer, please.
The answer is yes, I will sign that country of origin labeling bill.
Al Olszewski introduced a bill in the 2019 Montana legislative session requiring retailers to display a placard at counters showing details about where the meat came from. It died in committee. Critics like the Montana Stock Growers Association said the bill was not clear and that it put too much responsibility on grocery stores. There were also concerns that if the bill were to pass into law, it would contradict the Federal Meat Inspection Act. Several times throughout the debate, Fox jabbed at U.S. Congressman Greg Gianforte for not participating in his gubernatorial candidate debate. Fox, Olszewski, and Gianforte will face off in the Republican gubernatorial primary election June 2nd. Ballots will be mailed to voters May 8th. Democratic Governor Steve Bullock, who is term-limited and cannot seek re-election to a third consecutive term, is running for U.S. Senate. A Republican hasn't held the Montana governor's office in a decade and a half. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Montana's stay-at-home order lifted for individuals yesterday. Today, retail businesses can open under new guidelines. Governor Steve Bullock says the state has flattened the curve of the novel coronavirus's spread in Montana, but Montanans must still go to great lengths to protect themselves and others. The governor is asking people to avoid group gatherings of more than 10 people that don't allow for physical distancing. Older adults and people with underlying health conditions are still encouraged by public health officials to stay at home. The governor has released a three-phased plan to reopen the state's economy. Brad Griffin is the president of the Montana Retail Association and the Montana Restaurant Association. He says the association's 400 members are preparing to start back up.
I think people are looking forward to opening, and you know, they're going to be implementing new protocols to reassure the public that all steps are being taken to open up in a safe way.
The governor's directive allows retail businesses to open today with reduced capacity, health checks on employees, and policies for keeping customers 6 feet apart. Bullock's order allows for counties to take a stricter approach to reopening. Missoula is allowing retail businesses to open today, but only for delivery and curbside pickup, with in-store shopping coming later this week. The governor's order calls for bars and restaurants to open under new guidelines next Monday, May 4th. The two Democratic gubernatorial candidates in Montana's June 2nd primary debated virtually Saturday on agriculture and rural issues. The debate was hosted by the Montana Farmers Union, State and National Cattlemen's Associations, and the Northern Plains Resource Council. Rachel Kramer reports the candidates continued to try to distinguish themselves based on their work in government and the private sector.
Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney and businesswoman Whitney Williams were on the same page about protecting Medicaid expansion, fighting multinational meat packers for alleged price gouging, and supporting more young people to take up farming and ranching. The two faced off for around 40 minutes during the debate Saturday evening. Sitting Democratic Governor Steve Bullock is terming out of office and can't seek re-election. Montana Democrats hope to maintain control of the governor's office, which the party has held since 2005. Cooney often brought up his time in government as a lawmaker, secretary of state, and now lieutenant governor as the reason why he would be the best choice for the job.
You know, I'm the only candidate in this race who's made a decision to dedicate my life to serving the people of Montana. That includes supporting the work of farmers and ranchers in Montana. I've traveled across this state for many years, meeting with the families who've dedicated their lives to feeding Montana in the world.
He talked about initiatives like Main Street Montana Rural Partners, which the Bullock administration launched in 2018. The program focuses on creating economic opportunities in rural and tribal communities. Williams said Montana needs new skills and fresh perspectives in the governor's office. She often touted her experience running an international business that helps companies and organizations pursue philanthropic projects around the world. Williams also pointed to her running mate, Buzz Matlin, saying there's no better advocate for agricultural producers than a farmer.
Rural Montanans must help lead on all decisions for our state. Buzz runs a farm. He's respected nationally. He's president of the Barley Growers Association. And who better to represent our ag producers here at home and around the globe? Heck, Buzz even has a barley named after him.
The moderator asked how the candidates would promote local food production and marketing opportunities in the state. Here's Williams.
We have to diversify it and make sure it's always safe. But we also need to make sure that we make it easier for local producers to market their products to the public. We need to be innovators here. I'll bring energy into modernizing our inspection system and giving inspectors the tools they need.
When asked about getting agricultural markets back on track, Cooney said one of his priorities as governor would be continuing to build trade relationships.
I've been proud to be able to work with delegations from Japan and talk to them about how important it is that we continue our business with our wheat products. I've been proud to deal with the Mexican customers that we have, and we've talked to people up in Canada. Those are our biggest trading partners.
Cooney and Williams are running in the Democratic gubernatorial primary race on June 2nd. Ballots will be sent out to voters May 8th. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Public health officials say personal protective equipment like face coverings and masks are going to play an important role in slowing the spread of the coronavirus as Montana makes its first steps toward reopening. Homemade masks made by volunteers and businesses across the state have lessened the strain on supply chains for the N95 respirator masks healthcare workers need. Vicki Bird is with the Montana Nurses Association.
If our public wears these, that absolutely helps the frontline workers because, number one, it's not using up surgical masks and the N95s that they need on the front line. Plus, it's protecting others from them and helps flatten the curve and not spread the virus.
Bird says reusable masks help slow the spread of coronavirus by keeping respiratory droplets closer to the wearer's face and reminding them not to touch their mouth or nose, while N95 masks filter the virus out of the air. Karen Sorrell has been organizing mask sewing efforts in Gallatin County, and over the past month, they've produced nearly 3,600 masks that are still in circulation in local hospitals.
That first month was just a horse race. And now things are leveling off. We're getting supply chains identified for materials. It's amazing. It's a grassroots volunteer brigade.
The sewn masks are used by healthcare workers who do not have direct contact with COVID-19 patients. Last week, the group donated 350 masks to the city of Bozeman so that city workers can wear them as they perform essential services. John Henderson with the city of Bozeman.
This challenge of finding the resources beyond just the healthcare industry has been a very significant hurdle. I can really appreciate people within the community stepping up to provide a local solution to what is really a very much more of a broad problem.
In Billings, a local surgeon, a dentist, and the dentist's son designed a 3D-printed reusable mask. When volunteers started printing, a single mask took about 3 hours to produce. Then the Billings Clinic Foundation partnered with Spark R&D in Bozeman, which has the capacity to produce 2,800 masks a day. Face masks aren't the only protective equipment in short supply. Coaster Cycles, a bike shop in Missoula, started producing face shields for hospitals when they realized the shutdowns would mean furloughs or layoffs for their workers. Face shields are a plastic sheet that helps protect the parts of the face not covered by an N95 respirator mask. These are used by workers, like dentists, who come in close contact with clients. COO Justin Bruce says when they first started, they were going to produce about 10,000 face shields.
And the further the conversations went on, 10,000 ended up being 500,000. A few days later, we got another 150,000-piece contract for New York City Department of Health. Now we're speaking with and working with a lot of dentists all over Montana, and that is where we're seeing orders keep coming in.
Fernanda M.B. Krum owns Imagination Brewing in Missoula and hired 15 people last week to help make face shields in coordination with Coaster Cycles. She expects to hire about 15 more.
I keep going through the emails to be able to hire other people, people around town that have lost their jobs and don't know what to do.
Governor Steve Bullock announced last week Montana is getting another shipment of thousands of different kinds of protective equipment, including the N95 masks, face shields, and gloves from private market suppliers and the national stockpile. Vicki Bird with the Montana Nurses Association says the added supplies will help, but
we need to be very thoughtful with that and keep advocating for more PPE because, as we know, and we're seeing the information come out, that we're probably going to be in line for a second wave. We're going to have to be able to have the equipment to jump on these hot spots.
Bird says the most critical action people should take to support healthcare workers is to continue practicing social distancing and wear a face covering in public. For some, this might be the first time they've put on a mask. Bird says wash your hands before and after you put the mask on and make sure it covers your nose, mouth, and chin. For YPR News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.